Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Wednesday, the 1st of May. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Our top story, plans for an 8,000-seater stadium in North Kent have been approved. It's the centrepiece of a major development on brownfield land in Northleat, which also includes houses, shops, medical services and community venues. Our local Democracy reporter Dan Essam was at last night's council meeting.
So the Northleat Harbourside project is a massive planning application from Ebbsfleet United FC. It's been in the works for well over 2 years, and the main draw of it is it's a new 8,000-seat stadium at Northleat for Ebbsfleet United FC. But as well as that, it's not just the stadium. There's 3,500 homes proposed, a 300-bedroom hotel, tens of thousands of square foot of business space and community facilities and all of that kind of thing. So it's not an understatement to say that it's one of the biggest developments in North Kent for quite a while. It'll transform the area, for that reason, pretty significantly. The stadium will, bring massive amounts of business and that kind of thing into the area. The amount of housing, it's billing itself as an entirely new neighbourhood. And if you look at the plans, that's essentially what it is. It will very significantly change the way that part of, sort of brownfield industrial Northleat looks. At the council meeting, councillors in general were very supportive of the plans. It was passed unanimously. By the council, a couple of councillors were saying, what would we say to future generations if we, if we turn down an opportunity to provide so much housing and such a massive facility and all the sort of economic benefit that could come with it. The main concern people had about the impact the development will have is actually quite a specific one. So as I mentioned, that whole area is very sort of brownfield, industrial land. There's lots of businesses there. It's all very sort of heavy industry. But part of the development site includes a wharf on the River Thames called Robin's Wharf. And that's currently owned and used by Brett Aggregates and North Kent Roadstone, which are two massive businesses for the import and processing of rocks, minerals, sand and gravel and that kind of thing. It's quite specific and technical industry, and that Robin's Wharf is one of the only wharfs in the area that has a very particular kind of sort of processing facility for gravel and rock imports essentially. So the council officer's report makes pretty clear that, this development, because of how close it comes to that wharf, it will basically shut that down. And that was the main concern that people raised. There's a lot of basically people were saying that will have an impact on jobs. A few people, somebody from the Port of London Authority and somebody who worked for North Kent Roadstone turned up, and a county council officer turned up to say that this development, because of that effect, will pretty severely affect the market for gravel, sand and stone in North Kent. But that was the main concern or sort of problem that people had with the development. Like I say, despite that, it was approved unanimously by councillors. In terms of the difference it will make to Ebbsfleet United, it's pretty huge. Their current stadium hosts, I think, about 4,700 people or something like that. So this is pretty much doubling the size of their ground, which obviously gives them, much more ability to, host games, host bigger crowds and, hopefully draw in more supporters. Yeah, it's no understatement to say it's one of the biggest developments in that part of North Kent for a very long time.
Work could start this autumn, and the stadium's expected to take 2 years to build.
Kent Online reports.
A Ramsgate woman's been jailed after a man was stabbed to death in London. Christina Mannon helped lure Jordan Briscoe to a site in Tottenham by pretending she wanted to buy drugs. The 37-year-old from Lancaster Close has been found guilty of manslaughter and locked up for 3 years. Four men convicted of murder were sentenced to a total of 89 years. A duck has been killed in a suspected catapult attack in Faversham. The bird was found near Chart Gunpowder Mill next to 9 eggs and had suffered broken wings and ribs. It comes just days after footage was released of a fatal attack on a pet peacock near Maidstone. A 15-year-old boy has been arrested. Another person's been arrested over the deaths of 5 people as they tried to cross the Channel to Kent. The National Crime Agency says a 23-year-old Sudanese national is being questioned. Figures show 900 asylum seekers have made the dangerous journey since Friday. Meantime, the UK has sent the first failed asylum seeker to Rwanda under a voluntary scheme. The man was put on a commercial flight to Kigali, separate to the government's deportation plan, and was reportedly paid £3,000 to go. Here's Business Secretary Kemi Badenoch.
There have been so many obstacles. I'm pleased that we've finally seen one person going to Rwanda. Yes, this was under the voluntary scheme, but this also shows the point about Rwanda not being safe to be untrue, because people are volunteering to go. The scheme is working.
A woman's been charged after people were allegedly threatened with a knife at a Kent hospital. The Sitting Bull Memorial was reportedly put into lockdown during a disturbance on Monday. A 45-year-old appeared in court, accused of possessing an offensive weapon and criminal damage. A couple have been jailed for smuggling drugs and contraband into prisons, including HMP Maidstone. They were caught after a drone was spotted flying over the site on County Road. A court heard 27-year-old Sajjad Hashimi had done the same thing more than 100 times at 11 jails across the country. He and his wife, Circa Marane, who's 28 and from Compayne Gardens in Camden, have been locked up for a total of more than 7 years. Now, this is one of our most read stories today. Bungalow owners in Dymchurch say they feel like they're living in a box after new houses were built behind their gardens. Our reporter Louis Walker's been speaking to residents on Hythe Road. So, Louis, why are they so upset?
They feel let down because what they see as a monstrous development has been allowed to go ahead despite their complaints and its previous planning rejection by Folkestone and Hythe District Council. The two three-storey houses are surrounded by bungalows owned by residents like Maureen Field, who feels constantly overlooked and even compared the situation to living in a box, being so close to the overbearing development.
What do residents want to be done about it?
In short, the residents want to see action. John and Maureen Field are both in their 80s and have lived in their property on Hythe Road for over 60 years. This now neighbours the new development. Now, they don't want to leave their forever home. Instead, they would rather the new development was knocked down before work is finished. Romney Marsh Ward councillor Tony Cooper has also asked for Folkestone and Hythe District Council to impose a planning enforcement as a potential remedy for residents.
And have we had any comment from the planning inspectorate?
The plans were previously rejected by Folkestone and Hythe District Council, but they did gain approval on appeal in September 22. Planning Inspectorate Martin Andrews concluded the new homes would not cause harm for the occupiers of neighbouring dwellings as regards outlook and privacy. He did note there would be some slight sense of enclosure, but gaps between the old and the new properties were large enough. The inspector was also not satisfied that the flood risk was grounds for refusal, stating procedure to assess risk was sound and followed government advice. He concluded that all development has some impact on its surroundings.
Thanks, Louis.
Kent Online News.
More than a dozen near misses have been reported in just 2 days after a set of traffic lights were turned off at a junction in Maidstone. The close calls on Cold Harbour Roundabout are said to have been caused by poor signage and very little warning. It's due to improvement works that are set to last for the next 10 months. There's outrage after a parking warden left a parking ticket on a funeral car outside a service in Tenterden. The limousine was parked on zigzag lines behind the hearse on the high street as family and friends paid their respects to a veteran who'd taken part in the D-Day landings. Ashford Borough Council say their officers have a legal duty to issue penalty notices when traffic laws are broken, but have since cancelled the charge. We're told plans are underway to bring back a ferry service between Gravesend and Tilbury. It's been a month since it stopped running because of a lack of funding from Kent County Council and Thurrock Council. Businesses in Gravesend say they've lost up to 30% of their trade and some are considering closing or moving somewhere else. Oliver from our colleagues at KMTV has spoken to Sarah Cheshire, who owns a vintage shop on the old high street.
It's been really awful. Yeah, we've lost so much trade. It's so quiet. Not just for me, but this whole end of the high street, it's kind of killing us because we were struggling really before anyway, like, you know, as you know, climate's changed, people were online shopping and so forth. But now, without the guys coming over from Essex, we've lost so many customers and people, like, obviously the passing traffic, because they would get off the ferry and this is the way they would come into the town, up and down this high street, and now we're not getting that at all. So, Yeah, it's really detrimental, actually. I think myself and quite a few other businesses around here are actually thinking whether we can carry on.
So you're actually thinking about shutting up shop here and moving somewhere else?
Yeah, I think I might have to. I literally think I might have to. I'm seriously considering what I'm going to do if things don't start to pick up.
So, like, because the business down at the road, the Three Doors, they said they've lost about 10% of their
parcels. I would say we've lost more than that.
How much would you say
I would say probably at least 30%.
30% of your business?
Yeah, maybe, if not more.
And what does that mean economically, obviously, with business rates and rent being what they are? What's it like?
It's really, really tight. It's really hard to sustain it because, really, the shop is only just sort of covering itself now. I can't take any, you know, wage or anything from it. It's just not there. And it's sad because we had a lot of local customers as well, a lot of regular customers that used to come over all the time, and they would come like every Friday and they'd pop in, and you know, and we got to know them really well, and they were our regular spenders as well. And they're sad. They're really sad. They're really sad because they love coming here. And now, yeah, it's all stopped. It's a real shame. I know that the company that ran it before Jetstream, I know that they were supplemented financially by KCC, and they couldn't afford to do that anymore. So you can understand why financially they were struggling. But, you know, that ferry ran every half an hour, you know, from here to there, from morning till late evening. And it was always busy. I just don't understand it. I feel like the amount of loss from the trade of people coming through the high street into Gravesend town is going to be more detrimental than the cost of, you know, getting the ferry back running, really. I think it's crazy. I can't believe it.
Gravesham Council leader John Burden is also keen to get the ferry back up and running.
I think the impact has been quite significant in that you've got a load of children who used to come from Essex have now got problems coming to school. You've got people who work in Essex from Gravesham having struggled to get over to Essex to their jobs. And we do need to get the ferry back as soon as we can.
Because I've heard businesses today that some have lost 30% of their revenue in the last month just for lack of footfall due to the Tilbury Ferry. Do you think that's sustainable?
For them, they've got to find other ways of getting the income, but we've also got to work as a council in partnership with other people, which we're doing, to find a way of bringing back a ferry service, particularly when the cruise liners start coming back in. They bring a lot of people over to Gravesham. We want to enable that traffic to happen again.
And do you think it's actually reasonable to expect the ferry to come back if KCC can't afford to run it anymore? It's already been a month now without the ferry. When can people at Gravesham actually expect it to return to their shores?
I can't give a dateline as to when it will come back, but we are talking to various government agencies, Kent County Council, Thurrock and Essex, and meetings took place this week on the very subject. And we as Gravesham have been central to trying to make that all happen. We want it back, and we're trying to encourage them to find the funding to make it happen.
So you are confident then that maybe within the next year or so we will see return of that service?
I'd like to see that service return within that timescale. We do need to make sure whoever brings the service back can get the boats and the training and the proper health and safety practices in place. If they can achieve that within the timescale, that'd be fabulous. The sooner we bring it back, the better. And we're working to that end.
Kent Online reports.
Vapes, cash and illicit tobacco have been seized from shops in Dartford and Gravesend. Police found false walls hiding the products in two of the stores they visited. The third stored items in wheelie bins outside. A total of £4,000 was recovered, along with 1,200 vapes and 94,000 cigarettes. Dangerous cladding is set to be removed from parts of the Darrent Valley Hospital in Dartford after it was found to be an extremely high risk of fire spread. Work will soon be underway at the emergency department after an assessment earlier this year found the cladding did not comply with safety requirements. It's expected to cost as much as £1 million and take 2 to 3 years to complete. Controversial plans to redevelop Chatham Docks have been recommended for approval. The idea is to demolish the existing warehouses on the site and build a new business campus. More than 170 objections were received when it was suggested. Rochester and Strood MP Kelly Tolhurst has spoken about it today in the House of Commons.
Local opposition to Peel Water's plan has been robust, with countless constituents contacting me on the topic and over 170 letters of objection being received from Medway residents and Chatham Docks employees on the current live application. I have been overwhelmed by the local support, but also by support from businesses and groups in other parts of the country. It makes no sense why high quality jobs, valuable industry and infrastructure assets such as this could be lost in the pursuit of short-term profit for organisations. These industries are important now and will also remain in the future. We cannot prioritise the short-term profits of developers over our community's livelihoods and existing industries. The recent amendments to the MPPF making housing targets advisory and allowing more flexibility for local authorities should mean Medway Council is under less pressure to deliver a housing development at Chatham Docks. And I hope they too can see the importance of preserving the commercial port for our long-term local economy. Local opposition to Peel Waters underscores the community's strong desire to preserve the docks heritage, protect high quality jobs and ensure sustainable development. We owe it to our community, the workers and the future generations as we approach these challenges and make sure that we can save Chatham Docks.
Proposals for the development are being put to a planning committee for a decision.
Kent Online News.
A speedboat's been seized by police following the arrest of four suspected drug dealers in Kent. Cash, quad bikes and a motorhome were also confiscated during raids in Sutton Valence and Kingswood. Three men aged 60, 39 and 35 have been charged. A fourth has been bailed until July. There are fears a new David Lloyd Health Club planned for Ashford could impact roads and wildlife. The luxury facility could be built on Waterbrook Park, just off Badmonster Eiffel Road, and include tennis courts, swimming pools and a spa. Highways bosses are concerned about a significant increase in vehicle movement. Rare birds have also been spotted in the area. The developers being encouraged to take that into account. Voting will take place tomorrow for Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner. They're normally elected every 4 years, but because of the pandemic, the last ballot was actually held in May 2021. Their job is to hold the Chief Constable to account and give a voice to the public. The three men in the running have been speaking to the local Democracy Reporting Service. Matthew Scott is the Conservative candidate, Graham Colley represents the Lib Dems, and Lenny Rolls is Labour.
It's getting more boots on the ground, delivering the new neighbourhood policing model, which will see named officers in your local community, additional hotspot patrols in your wards and also on our roads to make people safer.
I believe that we do need more bobbies on the beat, more police support officers to be seen, to be the ears and eyes of the people.
I want to increase visible policing. I want to deal with antisocial behaviour and the soaring shoplifting figures across Kent and Medway. And the way that I'll do that is by investing in preventative programmes.
Candidates have also been asked about improving public faith in the police.
We've increased resources into vetting to make sure those who are joining and those who are doing specialist roles are being checked properly. I've helped set up a national whistleblowing hotline to make sure that people can anonymously report concerns about police officer behaviour. But in addition to that, the trust is also built on the street.
Yeah, trust is a big issue, but it really shouldn't be, because most police officers are fine, that they are great people. We trust them, we rely on them, and it's only a few bad ones that have let people down. And you've got to rebuild that trust, and I think it can be done.
So the first thing is holding the Chief Constable to account on things like, you know, ensuring that the Peel reports is delivered on. The Peel report identified the investigations into crimes weren't taking place and required improvement in Kent. I think people expect that if they report crime that it's investigated. The second thing comes down to transparency.
Polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. tomorrow, and you'll have to bring a form of ID to cast your vote. There are calls for something to be done about an abandoned restaurant in Canterbury, with residents calling it a danger to public health. It used to be known as the Raj venue, but closed during COVID, and the Grade 2 listed building on St Dunstan Street has been empty ever since. Neighbours say it's infested with rats and pigeons. The council say they're attempting to trace the original owners. And Maidstone is launching its first ever Pride event this summer. The family-friendly LGBTQ plus celebration is set to become an annual event. There'll be a parade, live entertainment, stalls and activities on the 22nd of June.
Kent Online Sport.
Maidstone gymnast James Hall has captained Great Britain to a men's team silver at the European Artistic Championships. They lost out on gold to Ukraine by just 0.5 of a mark. James, who trains at the Pegasus Club, says he's hugely proud of the group. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories directed to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.